Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan weather for Sunday in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Mid-60s, cloudy skies. Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cam Hayward practiced today, then talked after practice about how frustrating this has been. Yes, there have been talks between both sides. Nothing's gotten done. If something doesn't get done before kickoff, he thinks nothing will get done. He's had many difficult conversations with his family about it. Still would not say he's going to play. Talked about how he's really pissed off that so many Steelers fans and people have gone after his brother throughout this process. Mark Cabali, top Steelers insider, Pat McAfee show correspondent in studio with us. Mark, you heard what Hayward had to say. What's your reaction to it?
Oh, first of all, we've been begging for him to talk for a while now, and it was still an if of today, so I'm glad he did talk. But I don't know if he come across as helping his cause out publicly. I mean, his messaging was kind of
What could
boring.
He have done to help his cause out publicly, though, with, like, the
well,
fans?
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I'm done asking for money. I'm here to play on my contract.
And I apologize.
One thing
yeah.
you don't say is, football's not forever. I have a family to think of when you made $150 million.
Yeah.
I mean that doesn't work in this.
I said
town,
to Andrew
right?
that I think he could have probably left that one out because that's where the scales of how much money they do make, whether it's union management or not, loses people. But I had no problem with what he said afterwards, which is I try to maximize what I give on the field. I'm trying to maximize it off the field. I'd tell every guy in the locker room to do the same thing if they felt they could. Yeah, I'm with you. I did not think that helped him at all from a PR standpoint, the family line.
If you're writing a story, what do you take out of it? Cam Hayward says he can't feed his family anymore while, you know, somebody in...
Don't worry, the Dove Kleiman account has already tweeted something snarky about it.
Were allowed to follow Dove Kleiman.
Andy Lindberg, and our web guy, who's an ace web guy, said he sent the screenshot to me because he knew it would get me riled up. This is my daily reminder to block the Dove Kleiman account. It's run by a bunch of morons who bought it from the original moron. Thank you.
You know, another thing, too, about Cam was when he says there's no guarantees in my contract. Yeah, there's no guarantees in his contract because you already got paid the $14 million a couple months ago. That's where all your guarantees went at. So I'm not saying that the full aspect or the full realm of what he said is not true, but you know darn well that there's going to be cherry-picked a couple of those quotes that he does not come off looking well.
Mark, are you still in the camp of 100% he plays on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean... I think he's pretty much resigned himself that he's not going to get any money.
Do you think it's going to affect him?
No, I don't think it is ever. He'll have that chip on his shoulder. You know, I told you guys a year or two ago, every bad thing said, tweeted about him, he'd take a screenshot and put it in the
album. I know,
but
here's the weird thing.
What I'm saying is he's a guy that is going to use that as a motivation.
I understand that, but I said this to Pony. The weird thing about it is if he goes out there and is phenomenal, he's channeling that anger into something that ultimately helps the people who are telling him, we're not giving you another dime.
Yeah, but he's not going to say that every week. Hey, you're my fuel, and not anything like that.
No, I understand.
I think internally.
It could be weirder to use it as fuel because you know on some level if you play great, the people who said, we're not paying you an extra cent in advance kind of benefit.
What Mark is arguing about Cam Hayward, not arguing, what he's saying about Cam Hayward is that he is different from most people. Most people at their jobs where they felt like they were underpaid and they didn't get a raise would probably lollygag and go through the motions. And Mark is saying that that's just not in Cam Hayward's
DNA. It's hard to do that in football because you are still playing for that guy next to you. If you're dogging it, you know what? TJ Watt's looking at you and like, really? You know, Patrick Queen's like, really? offensive people are like, really, is this what you're going to do?
But I'm surprised
I don't think you can do that.
But I'm surprised you think he can flip a switch in time for Sunday and be completely dialed in and have his best game when he's been thinking about things that aren't getting ready for the Jets and playing football.
But he is a guy that's been around for, what, 15 years?
Yep.
It's not something, just like Aaron Rodgers, does he really need to have a lot of reps when he knows what week one's all about?
I don't think it's the physical rep part. I think it's the mental side of things with him, Mark.
I mean, with
versus
heads defensive line, you hit the guy in front of you and tackle the guy in front of you, right? I'm sure he's doing all the work necessary. I'm telling you, he's been
about gap fundamental, you know, his gap integrity, Cam. There's going to be things like that.
That gap integrity looks better when the inside linebackers can actually tackle, but I think they might have that this year, at least with Peyton Wilson.
I want to go back to something you said before we get like lost in the sauce here a little bit. You think, because I have taken it as my stance is they are going to make an example out of him, but give him the money. But they're going to make the example be, look at Cam Hayward. You all, the rest of you in that locker room, know how beloved he is, all he's done for the franchise, the way he handles himself off the field, how good he was on the field. We made him sweat till 11:59, basically, so to speak, the 59th minute of the 11th hour. What do you think we're going to do to you? I think he's going to get the money. You do not, however.
Well, I think he thinks he's not going to get the money, but we've been down this route. This has to be the third time now, right? Where it's went to maybe not to this degree of Friday, Saturday of not getting paid, but we're really late in the process and he was able to get paid. So I'm not really saying that, but that would be a kind of a crappy thing to do now, wouldn't it, if you were an organization? And
What would be a crappy thing to do?
With wait until the last minute just to make an example.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Because you think about it, what other guy is coming down the pike here in the next 5 to 10 years would ever even be in that situation to be able to demand, whatever you want to call it, what Hayward's demanding right now? It's few and far between.
Right, that's why it's been 10 years since it happened.
Yeah, so I don't think – if you're doing that as an organization, which I don't think that they would do that – that would be crappy. I think it's the point of, hey, this is what we are willing to give you, and this Cam saying, no, that's not enough. At some point, maybe he says, okay, I'll take this rather than nothing.
I agree with that last point. I mean, clearly, based on what he said today, it's not, hey, you have another year left on your contract, so we're not negotiating with you. He made it sound like they've actually talked, maybe not exchanged numbers. Maybe they have, but they've at least, like, you know,
they've kept some line of dialogue open.
It's not like a non-starter. No, we don't do it, and we're not going to make an exception for you, Mark.
My thing is, too, is when do you ever see Mike Tomlin stick his neck out and say what he said on Tuesday unless he knows something?
Where he said he's absolutely going to play?
He's playing. Terrell Austin could have easily said.
Or didn't he say, I'm planning to have him out there?
I mean, still, whatever wording he used, he wouldn't have went down that route. Okay. He wouldn't have went down that route.
Well, I said that, too, to Pony, that it sounds like the coach, who's pretty savvy in these matters, has.
So that made you feel like Hayward was going to get paid or that Hayward was going to give
like
up?
No, it just feels like he said to him, hey, whatever happens, I'm playing.
Yep.
I mean, same with Austin. I mean, Terrell Austin has used the line of, that's above my pay grade enough. He could have just went there and stopped. But, hey, I'm expecting him to play. I don't think they're playing games with him and saying we're putting pressure on him. I mean, last time Tomlin, you know, said something off the cuff like that, we still use it 15 years later with the Unleash Hell in December. He's not going down that route to make him look bad potentially. And if he does, if he doesn't play, what are you going to be here Monday? Well, Tomlin said.
How much do you think Cam's legitimate desire to want to be there for his teammates impacts the decision to play? Because he mentioned that. Yeah. I said to Pony, that was like notable to me that he said it hasn't been a distraction for my teammates yet, which is good. Like he valued that. To me, that was also a dead giveaway. Yeah, he's playing because there's a big part of him that like does feel the brotherhood in there, the fraternity, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, everybody I've talked to is under the impression that he's playing. I mean,
he would lose those guys if he didn't play in week one.
Ones. I mean, maybe the Patrick
Bell
Queens
lost
and Deshaun,
people.
Deshaun, well,
Bell lost people, and all hunky-dory with him in 2018 until people were like, holy crap, he's really not showing up.
Well, I think he might have misled the offensive linemen and some players, and they didn't enjoy that. So that Wednesday, they unloaded.
Well, that was his running style, to leave you thinking he was going to be somewhere. And
no, but this would
else.
Be misleading them. I mean, if Mike Tomlin's saying those things, they've obviously
heard
things
other
from
players.
Hayward.
I mean, talking to like Loudermilk the other day, and he's like, yeah, he's next to me. He's going to play.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Even Watt alluded to him. He's expecting him to play type of situation. So I don't think, unless you get some of those guys from like last year, you know, Deshaun Elliott doesn't tend to deal with things like this. And what type of...
No, he said that Rodgers is ready for the retirement home.
And what was he saying about potentially Minka, you know, at the end last year? So he hasn't.
He said
any...
Tomlin looked like Osama bin Laden or something.
He doesn't
like
have
that,
much.
I don't think he's deleted that post either. No, he just photoshopped him and called him. Didn't he say like Osama bin Tomlin and he did a photoshop?
What
post?
The heck?
Well, I mean, how much loyalty does he have to Cam Hayward? He's played with him for
no,
one
he's
year.
A mercenary. He's bounced around.
So, wouldn't maybe
wouldn't a mercenary like understand more the desire to get every like dollar and cent you could out of a deal? Like I would think if anybody, he would be like, oh yeah, I get it.
Mark, at the end of the day,
I'm serious.
At the end of the day, do you think Monday everything's been smoothed over and this has finally been put to bed and it's not going to be an issue again all year?
Well, and you talking about getting paid or just how?
Just everything with Hayward.
Well, like, if he doesn't get paid, I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't think they'll make an exception for him. I mean, would it be an exception just to move money forward? That's not a contract extension,
no,
right?
It's not an exception. It's the same thing they did with AB.
Yeah, but when did that happen with AB?
2016.
What, month before the season?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you negotiate in season? Or what are you negotiating here? Hey, if you want to give me a raise, give me a raise. It's not like it's a new contract. So, I guess it's a little fine line there, a little gray area that could be
exploited if they wanted to, yeah, but Hayward made it sound today he thinks if he doesn't have the money.
You know what? The last time his contract was up, he made it sound doom and gloom before Steelers signed Cam Hayward. So
I'll tell you what, he's taken the heat off of like a lot of other, like Aaron Rodgers is getting comparatively barely spoken about in all of this. Just as an observation here. Well, no, I know he's not doing it consciously.
What I'm saying is probably about 4 months ago, Cam Hayward was the model citizen and Aaron Rodgers was the troublemaker.
Now it's flip.
And it's also just like they are breaking in a new quarterback at an unprecedented age to try and like come to a new team and bring the goods, basically, like the way Brady did to Tampa. And that has just gone completely silent, that storyline,
well,
because this has just taken up all the
but
oxygen.
But he hasn't given much.
Well, no, he's been on his best behavior too. Yeah. Sure.
So.
Well, we'll ask Mark about what he expects from Aaron Rodgers Sunday in New York. Questions about the game will come up now that the Hayward saga continues to roll on with no clear-cut resolution in sight. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. A person in your law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pat McAfee, Steeler Insider, Mark Cabali in studio with us. Bryant McFadden later this hour, but first, a Charlie Borges headline.
They got a deep and talented backfield led by Hall and Allen. If you look at the history of their staff, those two kind of represent maybe what Gibbs and Montgomery represented to the Detroit Lions. And we've been looking at it through that lens. Make no mistake, they're both very capable. Allen really burst onto the scene, I thought, a year ago as a rookie out of Wisconsin. Breece Hall is multi-talented.
416, brought to you by Gina Giampietro, RE/MAX Select Realty. Listen to the PM Team On Demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. In studio with us, Pat McAfee, Steelers correspondent. Mark Cabali, Mike Tomlin talking about slowing down the run. The last time we saw the Steelers defense, they gave up 299 rushing yards. Derek Harmon already declared out for this game. Mark, why should we expect the Steelers to do a much better job stopping the one thing the Jets want to do in this game, which is line up and run the ball?
Well, two things,
yep.
And I think they're both on the left side of the offensive line right now. Rookie tackle and Elijah Vera Tucker's out,
yep.
So that should help immensely. I mean, with stopping the run and with the pass game whatsoever. But I think they're a little bit better, at least linebacker-wise, with Peyton Wilson than they were last year, and maybe some of the back half of the defense with Thornhill and
Are you one of these guys who believes that Peyton Wilson is going to have a monster season?
Do you think he'll be better than Queen this year?
No, I don't think. I mean, Queen's still a 130 tackle type of guy.
I didn't think he was very good last year.
Yeah, well.
So if you're saying Peyton Wilson won't have a better year than him, for people like me, that's a bummer.
But the good thing about a guy like Patrick Queen is, and to a degree now Peyton Wilson is, you don't have to spy Justin Fields. You got Patrick Queen running a 4.48 or whatever it is, who can be that de facto spy. They got very quick inside linebackers. They could probably chase him down. So that should help.
So you think they're set up well, actually, to slow down a running quarterback now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really haven't looked at 40 times of all of the inside linebackers, but they have to have two of the quicker ones.
Can they tackle a big man like Fields, though? That's what Tomlin said made him stand apart from the rest, is that he's so much bigger and he's like Derrick Henry in the open field.
I've seen Justin Fields in his shorts.
You've never been a Fields guy, though. He never did it for you.
Isn't he like the ultimate warrior? He looks the part, but he doesn't have the skills in the ring at that point?
Yeah. Well, like I said,
played the ultimate warrior's music to bring you back here.
I say the same thing. I think he's a great guy. I mean, he's perfect locker room guy.
That makes him not like the ultimate warrior.
But the problem with Fields is the inconsistency, man. It's just he'll look great at a second, look terrible at the
Mark,
other
I'm
times.
Convinced they're going to turn him over a couple times in this game. Like, I have a very
– should have did it last
year. If there's a Justin Fields total turnover prop, which there ought to be, fumbles lost and interceptions, I would take over 1.5 if that's what it's set at.
What did he do last year in those six games? He had to fumble the ball 5 times. He didn't lose any of them, I don't think. Maybe one. There was a couple picks that were
dropped, against the Colts or something that was lost.
So what I'm saying is there were – it was set up for – that to happen last year, because we all know the turnover problem he had in Chicago. But if you're going from Chicago, Pittsburgh, New York, nothing's going to change. You're too far along in your career to change what you are.
What about Geno Smith? You could argue there's an example of a guy who changed later in his career.
After he got punched in the face, right?
He did, yes. He broke his jaw.
I don't think that was necessarily the thing that spurred career change, but I'm saying it's possible. I mean, Rich Gannon became an MVP late in his career.
Another good one by Malzi.
Okay.
Sam Darnold has even kind of done it.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's hope for Mason Rudolph yet.
I've made that point before, and Chris has shot it down. Thank you, Mark.
Well, Mason Rudolph's already started a playoff game, so, I mean, some of those guys really hadn't done that.
Mark, it is an interesting philosophical question for Sunday. Do you get after Fields and speed him up, which might cause his brain to fry, and he makes bad decisions that way? Or do you just sit back and say, all right, we're going to rush 4 and make you beat our guys in coverage and look around and find the open guy and play the position from the pocket?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to. I mean, the one way he's going to beat you, if he does get out and be able to make those big plays, those 10 yards into 30s and 40-yarders, I would like their chances with 4-man rush right now, with especially the 2 outside guys, especially what they do if they move Watt around.
Do you think they will?
They should, right?
So finally, we'll get it. We'll get Watt moved all over the map.
The facial expression and the way he said it—he knows something, but he's not sure.
I don't know anything. Okay. I'm just saying that we've heard this for years now, and it just never follows through.
I mean, I felt like this offseason was the time that they most seriously said we understand, mainly because of how his season ended. I should say, Mark, he was disappearing act for the last month, and then fully disappeared in the playoff game. It felt like it felt like they needed an object lesson in you can't just keep doing it this way and expecting it to work. And they finally got one in a serious way.
Now you got a rookie left tackle starting, right? Left tackle?
No,
right tackle.
Right tackle is a rookie.
Rookie right tackle.
Backup right guard.
Okay, now you got T.J. Watt going against.
The left tackle is Fashanu, who's in his second year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if he has, what would you rather have? Be a single man rush on one guy? You got to beat Fashanu. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Fashanu. Yeah. Or would you like to be double teamed or chipped on the other side with the rookie?
How about him?
Probably rather go against the left tackle, I would think.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if he has success doing that, then why would you move him around? So I think it's going to be a filling out process.
How about
long way of getting to that point?
How about they run him up like the middle and like an A-gap type of thing where they loop him around? I mean, Cleveland does it with Garrett. Why can't Watt do that
stuff?
The
thing.
He's bendy.
I think they might have wanted to do that, but the questionable with Herbig, if he's going to play or not, I think they would bring Herbig in, move him to the middle, and be able to do that on certain plays.
Now, I'm just saying, why not do it with Watt? He's your best player.
Yeah, but who's going to be on the outside then? Unless there's a formation.
I'm saying like almost like pre-snap, you show one thing and then he dances a little bit. And then, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that the Browns would do with Garrett that they got lauded for.
I think what I'm saying is if you have your full allotment of outside rushers, I think yes. I just don't think – I don't know if Herbig's playing or not.
Does Black play a lot in this game?
I don't think he starts. But I think
Loudermilk starts. That's what Jeff says.
Is this the veteran gets to start so that he feels pretty good, and then here comes the player?
I don't think you want to overwhelm Y.A. Black with
Well, wait a minute. You started this hour by saying all you need to do on the defensive line is bump into guys and push them around.
Which is true. What I'm saying is you don't want him to mess with, hey, I'm starting on the road and have that mess with your mind. Come in after a couple series, and you look at the snap counts at the end of the day, and it's 39-40 for Black and 21 for Loudermilk. Type of situation, even though he didn't
I just think that he looked so good in the preseason. He has me, I won't even say cautiously optimistic. He has me very optimistic that they've gotten one of those, like, you need to get these mid or late round steals.
Yeah, and if the Jets want to run the ball from the jump, I want him out there to stop the run, not Loudermilk.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying Loudermilk start, but that doesn't mean he's going to have the more snaps. What you want with Black is great, man. He just occupies space. Not only can he occupy space to keep him off of Queen and whoever else is out there, if it's safeties or whatever, is he's talented enough to be able to make some plays as well. So he does fit almost perfectly into this system. And, I mean, that has to be a surprise to them. There's no way they thought in the fifth round they were getting to get a guy that's going to be able to play half the snap.
Well, that's what I mean. I just think, like, really good teams have that happen. You'll find out, like, such and such team has a fourth or fifth round rookie starting, and I just feel like they're due for one of those kind of players.
Yeah, like the Steelers are due for getting a quarterback in the third or fourth round that actually is worth something.
No, you usually need to draft those in the first round. Although Dakota Prescott, our friend last night, it was a second versus a fourth.
Russell Wilson.
Do you think that Jalen Ramsey will just find Garrett Wilson and stick to him like glue? No, he's going to be a chess piece in this game.
Yeah, I think you're going to have the three guys out there at all times, if not all the time. And there will be times where he will find himself on Wilson, but I don't think he's following him.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Mark Cabali will break down the Steelers' offensive game plan with Aaron Rodgers next. But first, here's a Charlie headline.
His arm talent is unbelievable, not only in terms of arm strength and accuracy, but his ability to release the ball from a variety of places. You know, his game management expertise and experience is very evident. His line of scrimmage play, weaponizing of cadences, etc. His above-the-neck game is very unique. It's been a good process, but the proof is in the pudding. I'm sure he's excited about getting into a stadium with us and quarterbacking for us, and I know I'm excited about seeing it.
4:30. Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. Good spot to watch the game Sunday, Steelers and Jets. Tons of football all weekend long. High school games tonight, youth games on Saturday, college games on Saturday. If you want us to stop at your youth game, our youth football showcase going on right now. Email youthsports@937thefan.com with your group name, your group's names, main contact info, potential dates. Details at 937thefan.com, brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, and Pelman Electric. Mark Cabali, Steelers insider, Pat McAfee show with us. He will get on a plane tomorrow and head to New York to watch Aaron Rodgers' first game.
Newark. Let's hope, like I said, last time I was in New York, and Le'Veon was playing.
Isn't Newark Airport having a whole host of issues all the time? Like, logistically, it's just a nightmare flying in and out of there.
Let me ask
you
a question. Would you rather go to JFK? No. LaGuardia, where you just spend...
JFK is the one where it's right on the water, isn't it?
Yeah.
LaGuardia is right next to City Field.
Well, apparently they upgraded LaGuardia, but that's not the point. The point is when you look at the flight and it says 4 hours to LaGuardia, what? Then you realize an hour and 40 of those minutes you're just circling the airport waiting for a time to land. So Newark's right in. But you know who's legendary from Newark?
Charlie Borges, our producer today?
Get that.
Shaquille O'Neal was technically born there, I think.
Daniel LaRusso.
Oh,
I saw him at the game the last time when Le'Veon played. They lost and Duck played.
So you're
and Mason
saying
got hurt.
Is he in the canon for that show from Newark or something somehow? Or is actual?
He is from New Jersey.
The movie Karate Kid.
No, in life, but yes.
What's
from
his
Newark.
Name? Ralph Macchio.
They showed him on the board last time I was there. If I happened to run into him, I'd turn into a little 12-year-old. Daniel, can I get a picture with you? Would that be creepy?
Yes. Yeah, it would be, man.
I would do it.
Mark, what do we expect from Aaron Rodgers? Because his week one performances lately have not been very good. So what should we expect from him in this game?
I think it's going to be – a lot of it's going to be depending on Arthur Smith's game plan, to be honest with you. But I think they'll be able to play action pass. I think they'll be able to connect with DK Metcalf, even if Sauce Gardner – Sauce Gardner doesn't typically travel with anybody. Plus, he's –
well, we don't know. They have a whole new coaching staff there, and he is going to play on Sunday.
He's a little bit questionable.
Is it with him, Pony, that he never played left corner or always played left corner and now was going to maybe do both? I think it was that he was never really used at
left corner,
and now Aaron Glenn was maybe having him do different stuff. We've had all this discussion about wide receiver two.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about tight end one, two, three, and four. That's where it's going to be at.
So you don't – wait, you're not
– Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Not worried about wide receiver two because you think they won't be factors?
No, I think he wants to go out there and play with his new toys. Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith. His new toys are Jonnu Smith, a rejuvenated Darnell Washington.
Isn't a brand new to the lineup essentially Roman Wilson a new toy?
But you know how much Arthur Smith loves tight ends. Now he got four of them.
That's why he ruined Kyle Pitts.
I think Kyle Pitts was ruined before he got there.
Possible.
He got four guys who have four different skill sets. And he just absolutely loves trying to
put those
guys.
Yes or no, do we get a four tight end set? Do we get all four tight ends on the field at one time?
I'm telling you, it might be Jonnu in the eye by himself, man. He's dot in the eye. No, it wouldn't be no dot in the eye because there wouldn't be no fullback. It'd be single set back.
What would Connor be doing if you have four tight ends? Is he going to be
honestly
going in motion?
He put on about, I want to say 15 pounds or so. And he looked like he was a little bit better blocker than he was in his previous.
Roger seems to like him.
He loves Darnell. I mean, my goodness, I think he's going to.
He said, best tight end group I've
had
in 21
years. Didn't he say about Darnell, what was it? People asked if he was playing the right position.
Yeah,
he's playing the right position.
Yeah, I'm like, where's been conversation? I'm like, where's this conversation coming
from?
On
the fan, he's been listening to us.
Or is it in the locker room? Where's this conversation? Is this from Wexel, wants to move him to tackle? I don't know.
Robin North for Sales, I have to just cut in to say this, said that Ralph Macchio may want Cabali's autograph, being that Mark is a global television star on Pat McAfee's show.
Good point.
Fair
probably
point.
Does know who you are.
What if Macchio said, aren't you the guy from Pat McAfee?
Who?
Would you like to
throw his toilet paper in the garbage and not in the toilet?
Well, forget about all that stuff. If he dead ass said to you, aren't you the guy from Pat McAfee, what would your reaction be?
I think you'd die a happy man at that point.
Probably. I'd probably ask him.
You know how people say I'd keel over, I'd faint, I'd be so surprised?
You know,
I think you might actually do that.
I'm not a big guy that would go and, you know, go try to seek out autographs or anything like that, even when I was a kid, whatever. But I made a mistake one of my first years of covering baseball in the early 2000s. I was a big Jack Clark fan.
I knew
that. And he was a hitting coach for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers were there, and I talked to John Parada. I'm like, man, this is my favorite. He goes, go over and talk to him. And I refused to. And to this day, I regret it.
Oh, see, I thought that was going to end with I went over and talked to him, and he told me to get away from me, like was like a total jerk.
Too. I totally regret it 25 years later.
Mark, you said that you think he's going to want to play with his toys. That makes me wonder, do you think it's actually going to be more of a pass-centric offense on Sunday than most people expect it to be? Because the thought around this game is both teams are going to try to run the ball and punt's not bad, and whoever loses the turnover battle is going to lose the game. And if the final score is 10-7, Mike Tomlin has a big smile on his face after the game.
I don't know. I think what Arthur Smith likes to do is use those tight ends to be able to run the ball and be able to play off of that depending on how the personnel reacts to that. Depends on what personnel you have there. So I still think they're going to try to run the ball early in that game. Hopefully not 2nd and 9 and any toss plays or anything.
Mark, they couldn't run the ball in camp. Are you worried about that?
That's a yes from you. I know you enough to know. You're not trying to be alarmist, but that's a yes.
I'm not worried until I see it in live action here.
Why haven't they been able to run it at all in camp? Like, what's been the main problem?
Preseason, too, really.
Because they're playing against the best defense in the league.
Okay, then preseason when they're not.
Well.
Because you kept writing that on Twitter. You kept saying, look at these stats with the first-team offense running the ball. They're putrid.
Yeah, they weren't good. They needed to run the ball more. I like Jaylen Warren. I think he's going to provide that power aspect component. As I say, Tomlin, he says it about 12 times a day, a press conference. The power component.
If you will.
Components is new favorite.
Oh, the one he just did, he was talking about Sauce Gardner, and if you will is always if you turn.
He loves if you will.
Transition.
I know it is. I was bitching and moaning to Pony though, like he. If you say if you will, it's when you use a turn of phrase, and then after you say the turn of phrase, you say if you will. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it was raining cats, like cats and dogs. If you will.
Yeah.
He was going, you know, Sauce Gardner. He's a big time player. He's a first round pick or whatever, first round guy, a near top pick. If you will, like Mike. That's just a basic descriptor of what the man is. There's no if you will. That's not an idiom or anything like
must
that.
Must be a Dusty Rhodes fan, Mark. Yeah, if you will so much.
That was definitely a component of his press conference the other day. I said 10, and I think he was just under that. But I think they're going to run the ball and try to play off of what they are. I think, obviously, Rodgers is a smart quarterback, and I think he'll be able to make sight adjustments, line adjustments to say, okay, we know what the personnel is out there. We could switch to these big tight ends because I got a matchup issue over here. So I think that's the key. I don't think you're going to see much from the wide receiver twos, regardless who it is. I think DK will get his touchdown.
You think Tomlin's licking his chops? He'll never admit this because he doesn't want to get bulletin board material of any kind. Do you think he's licking his chops that he gets to face Fields? Like he feels like I can scheme.
Person he didn't mention at the – he was talking about all the people the other day of the Jets and the running game and this, and he never mentioned Phil.
Well, I told Pony that's a dead giveaway with him.
He mentioned him as a runner, but not a passer.
When the first thing he mentioned is Braylon Allen and Breece Hall, you know what he thinks of the quarterback, one way or the other.
The quarterback they wanted to bring back, if you would have said yes.
Here's an interesting question that we just got texted into the show from Jim. Who does Mark think will be the Steelers' inactive players on Sunday?
That sounds like a David Todd question there.
No, it's not about clock management.
Do you think? Okay, so you think all the wide receivers dress?
Depends
all
on
five?
Who's hurt, right? You have Herbig's hurt, Harmon. There's Herbig, Harmon.
So now what, four more?
Maybe Skyler. No, Skyler. Well, I wonder what they would do with Skyler. No,
Skyler won't dress because he's the third quarterback.
Emergency.
He doesn't, yeah.
Probably going to have to be.
Do you think they dress all their defensive linemen with Harmon hurt? Do you think Logan Lee and ukulele your guy and
I can never say that.
Ekwuale?
Ekwuale.
And Odomiwo or whatever his name is.
One's a tough one.
You think all those guys get helmets?
Huh. That's a question that I really never ponder. Who's going to be inactive? If they're inactive, they must not be.
You concern yourself with what's important, not with the people who are going to be inactive.
I don't look at players number 87 and 88 because by the time I learn their name, they get cut. You never hear of them. But once every generation, you get James Harrison or an Antonio Brown. But the corner, maybe a defensive back. Who's their fifth corner?
Their corners right now are Slay, Eccles, Porter, Ramsey. Porter, Ramsey, Slay, Eccles. That's it. That's all they got at corner right now. Four guys.
Well, they might figure that they only need two to deal with the Jets.
Carson Bruner.
Yeah, he could be one.
Jack Sawyer?
No, it depends. No.
He's got to play.
They need four.
Yeah.
Harrison will play. Wow. You got me stumped. I don't know. Can't be any running back.
There's no shame in saying I don't know because you don't consider the inactives.
I mean, because I always get mixed up of practice squad and number 52 and 53 on the roster because they're a lot of times interchangeable. So I would say Pierre, but he's on the practice squad.
Yep. What is your game prediction?
I think the Steelers win this game. I think it's going to be one of those games that the final score is not going to be as close as you think it is, but the game's going to feel close. So there's going to be like a late touchdown to make it a 12-point game or a 10-point game.
If the Steelers score 17 points, do they win?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to score more than 17.
If the Steelers score 13 points, do they win?
Probably not.
So you think it's going to take...
So like a 20 to... I feel like you're predicting kind of a 23-14 game, 23-16.
Maybe 24-14 Steelers score late.
Oh, right on the over-under, right on the total. Nice push from Mark Cabali.
26-14, something like that.
Hit that over.
I think this game, even though he's downplayed, I think it definitely means a lot to Aaron Rodgers.
Of course it does.
Do you think one more question.
I thought you were going to ask me if you knew what bridge he was taking this.
No, I don't.
Wait, what happened with that?
Was somebody just trying to get a fun answer out of
it? It was some people that – some kind of ESPN cinematic or something. Nobody knew who it was, and he just popped in there with that one, and I asked him about it yesterday. He goes, well, yeah, what the heck was that?
You asked Rodgers.
Yeah. I said, yeah, I saw your face. You were like, I don't know how to answer this. He did DK Metcalf the same way, so –
I do want to ask you this then. We know Tomlin respects the hell out of Rodgers. Yeah. So there's inside Mike Tomlin, there are two wolves. The one who respects Aaron Rodgers and desperately wanted him to come here, mm-hmm. to the point where I think like he knew months before the draft he could probably get him here and would. And therefore wants to maybe if Rodgers, you know, he knows Rodgers has an emotional connection going into this game and wants to show the Jets you were wrong to let me go or to tell me to get lost. I'm going to let you throw early and like try to prove your point. Then there's the other wolf inside of Mike Tomlin, the one who, if he could win every game 9-6, would be happy to do so. Which Mike Tomlin wins out early in this game? Do you think they take some aggressive shots early?
No, I don't think there's going to be any aggressive shots. I don't think we're going to see hardly any throws down the field. You're going to look at that passing chart at the end of this day and see everything within 20 yards, but that doesn't mean Metcalf can't take it and run like he's normally, which he's been able to do in training. In camp here, so I don't know, man. I don't know which way he would go on that. I think Rodgers would probably be a guy that throws the ball around more than them trying to win it 9-3.
Of course,
on Monday when you're in with Dorn and
actually
Crowley,
I'll be on the plane. I don't think they'll know this yet. Okay. We're breaking news to them, but go ahead.
When they're expecting to have you on the air Monday and you're not. Who will be the player being discussed as the star of the game?
Chris Boswell.
It's going to have to be somebody offensively, right?
Imagine if Cam scored a defensive touchdown, forced a fumble, picked it up.
He did
and
that
rumbled.
In the Giants.
Yeah,
game,
he
right?
did have a pick against
COVID
the Giants
game.
In New York.
COVID
Can
game.
You imagine if that actually went down?
Man, I'm just going chalk here, man. T.J. Watt, a couple sacks.
And starts his road to setting the record.
I could tell you if you're in here saying they lost, why did they lose and their offense looked terrible? I would say probably the offensive line.
All right.
First time they've never taken a snap together, this unit, ever in a game.
Mark, enjoy New Jersey.
I will not.
BMAC, Brian McFadden, Steelers Super Bowl champ, joins us next to break down Steelers Jets. Quick timeout, then a commercial-free segment. It's the PM team.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.